This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's a new day in Greece after voters say no to deeper austerity imposed by lenders, yet the banks in Greece are still closed. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Greek word for no is ochi, transliterated O-X-I. Greeks have voted no to the tough conditions of a financial rescue. Here are two of those voters in Syntagma Square in Athens.
They wanted us to be afraid. That's why I vote no, because I want to stay in Europe. I want to have euro as a kind of money. Yes, I want to stay in Europe.
I'm slightly scared, but still quite optimistic to vote ochi. I have very few hopes that will change things drastically, but I think maybe it will make a less tough bailout deals.
Less tough bailout deals. Now that the result is in, Greece's prime minister is hoping to restart talks aimed at keeping the Greek economy afloat and within the European single currency. The promise had been that Greek banks would reopen this week after a one-week hiatus, but they remain closed today. Let's go to Athens to check in with Lucy Burton, a business reporter with our partner broadcaster, the BBC.
It's now a race against time, really, for Mr. Tsipras to see if he can persuade the Europeans, really, to keep the banks going and keep the cash coming in, because they haven't got much time to work with. The worry is that by the end of the week, the ATMs will have completely run dry. And this morning, I think we're seeing longer queues at the ATMs. We've also heard that people now no longer have access to their safety deposit boxes either. And I think now it's most people just waiting for Mr. Tsipras to make good on his promise to arrange something very quickly with Europe.
Tell me about the paradox that seems to be emerging from this election result. The idea that Greek people did not want to accept conditions of the last financial rescue package, but what? They still want to stay part of the Eurozone.
Two people might be voting ochi, but for totally different reasons. One could be voting because they truly believe in the idea of Europe, but simply feel that Greece has no more to give in terms of austerity. And the second one might say, do you know what, we're better out of Europe, let's just cut our losses and start again. So you had all of this feeding into Sunday's vote. But then yesterday, last night, when I was wandering around Syntagma, so many people, in fact everyone, told me that they believed in this narrative that Mr. Tsipras has put forward, that the vote was simply about the proposals and they wanted to stay in Europe. And it almost feels like we're sort of back to square one.
Greece's firebrand finance minister says he's out. They're going to find someone new.
Yes. It looks like Mr. Tsipras has sort of offered him up as a sacrificial lamb this morning as a way of telling Mrs. Merkel, Mr. Draghi and Yesil Bloom and Jean-Claude Juncker that he is serious about the talks by taking Yanis Varoufakis off the table, as it were.
BBC business reporter Lucy Burton in Athens. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
New York City has entered a six-month grace period, giving delis and other retailers until January 1st to get rid of styrofoam, cups, clamshell food containers, beer coolers. If you've ever wondered why styrofoam is not recycled very often, it's because of economics, Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
People apparently try to recycle so many things, bless their hearts.
We've had bales of marijuana come up. We've had hand grenade. Guns. We get a lot of different stuff.
This is Robert Anderson. He's with ReCommunity Recycling, and we're at their plant in Beacon, New York.
It's really become a problem.
As we step around a piece of telephone pole that someone decided they would try to recycle, we pass conveyor belts and machines and people separating glass from plastic, from metal, from paper. And it all ends up as compressed cubes or bales of metal or plastic, which are sold to manufacturers. This is how recyclers make money. The dirtier the materials and the more non-recyclable things that get thrown into recycling bins, the more expensive the separation.
In the current state of the recycling industry, it's more important now than ever that we have high-quality materials coming inbound and reduce the amount of contamination.
The current state of the industry is that bottles and cans have gotten thinner and lighter, meaning there's not as much valuable plastic and aluminum coming in. On top of that, market prices recyclers get for the raw material or plastic they sell have plummeted over the past year by more than half.
A decline in expected world GDP growth is primarily responsible, and in particular, growth in China, which is the major driver of commodity markets.
Craig Perrong is professor of finance at the University of Houston.
Increases in supply, particularly in oil, have also played a role.
Plastics are made from oil, so as oil gets cheaper, recycling plastics becomes less profitable. Sharon Canise is president of the National Waste and Recycling Association.
Because commodities are significantly challenged right now, the economics of recycling are also challenged.
So if prices stay low, towns and cities will have to pay more or recycle less. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, for example, stopped recycling glass. In New Jersey, there have been 3 recycler bankruptcies and 2 plant closures. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And the Bert of Bert's Bees has died. Bert Shavitz was 80. He was a beekeeper, hippie, and entrepreneur in Maine. He started the cosmetics company in 1984 with a hitchhiker he bumped into, Roxanne Quimby. Marketplace's Nova Safo, that partnership was lucrative and it sounds like complicated.
Yes, it was. The two started making natural beauty products using beeswax from Shavitz's bees. Their product was a hit and the company grew fast, but the two had a falling out. Shavitz left the company in 1999. He was bought out for reportedly about $130,000. Not a great deal because a few years later, in 2007, Clorox bought Bird's Bees for almost $1 billion. Shavitz has reportedly said he didn't mind not getting a big payday because he got a big batch of land in Maine instead, and the land was more important to him.
Nova, thank you. Bert died in Bangor, Maine of respiratory problems. Mr. Shavitz was a free-spirited fellow. We've tweeted a link to Bert's Buzz, a documentary about the man that premiered in Toronto last year. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.